This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
A missing teenager. Body in the front trunk of a Tesla, the frunk, if you will. It's a new term I learned this week as well. A rising music star at the center, David, or D4VD, that you're seeing. And over a year of red flags, but somehow it all went unchecked. But beyond the outrage, beyond the speculation, there are real questions. What should have been done? And what still can be done? And what makes sense in this case? They found her body in the frunk of the Tesla. Did the whole body fit in there? Was she dismembered? Why was she dismembered? What does all of that say about the crime that took place? We're going to get into all of that today. We're joined by retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer, someone who's worked these cases in the real world. When the leads are cold, Jennifer, the timeline is broken and the public wants justice before the evidence is even in. What does a case like this look like through federal eyes? And what's the risk when the clock keeps ticking and still no one's been charged yet?
Well, the clock's ticking, Tony, because they don't have the answers. I think that possibly that Tesla information, the Sentry mode that you can put a Tesla in, maybe was disabled. It seems to me if they had absolute evidence of who put her in that trunk, that that would be at least one charge that could be charged. But they haven't charged anything. So were the cameras disabled, or were the people who did that or person who did that covered in black like a Brian Koberger, and they can't make him out and they don't have big eyebrows? Yeah.
Educate us a little bit. You have a Tesla, and you even did an experiment. We'll talk about that in a few minutes here, but for those of us who don't, which is a good chunk of the population, Sentry mode on the car, and what does that mean, and what sort of features are on this vehicle that as we're looking at it, and we know it's the car of the future and it has a gazillion safety features beyond most vehicles. What other pieces can this car give us, and what might it not give us if the user itself decided, I don't want to be caught?
Well, what's interesting with the Tesla is it's really a computer on wheels. And I mean that very seriously, not figuratively. There's a large computer screen. And in fact, that is where your owner's manual even is. And you're able to engage certain items on that you want or don't want. Everything is controlled by your phone. Mm-hmm. So if you want to open the door, if you want to open the trunk, if you want to do anything with the vehicle, you do it by your phone, and it alerts you if you have it set to that. Now, there's up to 9 cameras on this car, and if you have it set to Sentry mode, meaning the mode that keeps that car safe, people who touch it, go around it, you're going to get photos of all mm-hmm. of that. But it takes literally your fingertip to disable that. And if that was disabled on this car, nobody's going to see anything because there's not going to be any cameras in it.
And I guess one of the questions I would have right now would be, okay, it's not necessarily sending notification. We don't know the answer to this question, but if they disabled it, is that, and I don't know if you know the answers or not, is that disabling just the notifications to a phone, or is that disabling the infrastructure of the vehicle to actually collect that data? Because I'm wondering if, you know, deep within the confines of the car, within its computer systems, if some of that data exists, but is just not out there as it would be if you had selected, yes, please send me those notifications.
So there's actually two parts to that. So there's a notification that you can enable or disable. As an example, I have mine disabled, mm-hmm. but you can enable the Sentry mode, which I have mine enabled, mm-hmm. so that the camera is working, everything is monitored in terms of anybody touching that vehicle or being around that vehicle. So they're actually two separate commands. Mm-hmm. But to your question of, if you have your cameras enabled and the Sentry mode turned off, is any of that, you know, taken? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. It wouldn't make sense to me that if you enable it, it's still working.
What I wonder about is maybe the cameras are off, but I do wonder about just basic function of the car. When they get into the vehicle log data, like we've seen in so many cases where, okay, well, it accelerated this way. I mean, look at the Karen Reed case where it took two trials to discover, oh, there's this whole other set of data over here we didn't know existed. Something like this, I would think there might be records of, okay, the trunk or the frunk was opened. Things like that. Maybe not as advanced as we'd like it to be, but enough where it's going to tell us the last time that trunk was originally opened, which would tell us when a body was put in the trunk, you know, maybe. And just other little things here, doors opening, the GPS of the vehicle, things like that, that you typically can't completely disable unless you, I guess, really, really know what you're doing, or maybe just you can't do, period.
No, I agree with you. I think that the GPS system, I think whether the doors are opened or closed, whether the trunk is open or closed, the speed at which the vehicle goes, when it stops, I think they're going to be able to track all of that. I don't know that you can disable that. At least I've never tried to disable it. I don't know that you can. Mm-hmm. I'll look into that, Tony, later, but I don't think so. I think it's going to record that.
So we have the body that is found in the trunk, and it's been reported that the body was dismembered. And I'm not trying to be gruesome here. I've heard various reports on this. I know you have too. What do we know factually at this moment about the state of Celeste's body as found in that vehicle?
So I'm going to go back to the genesis, right? The very genesis of the reporting. And that was from the local Los Angeles station. Mm-hmm. And in that, it's specific. It's very specific. It says the torso and the head. And then there's also a photograph of the bag where the body, the remaining 71 pounds, was. Mm-hmm. And you can see from that bag, it's not completely full. You can tell there is not a full body in there. That's my interpretation of the photo. Mm-hmm. Secondarily from that, though, we know that the shush, right, S-H-H, and then there's three dots afterwards on the index finger, we know that that is how she was identified. So for me, there's a lot of questions in terms of was that also in the bag but not discussed? Was that in another part of the vehicle? That seems confusing, but that was our first reporting on it, the body being dismembered.
So I guess we can say unconfirmed, kind of speculation at this moment in time, but her whole body is likely not intact. Like there may be another piece of her body elsewhere.
I don't know about elsewhere. I think it's possible from the photograph that we can all see of this bag, you could dismember the body as was reported and fit it all in that bag nicely compared to an elongated 5 foot, 1 inch body that would, of course, also likely been in rigor, some stage of rigor.
So, I mean, what does that tell us about this case if the body is cut up? When you think of that, we often think, oh, this is rageful, this is horrible. Or is it more of a crime of convenience of let's try to fit this thing into this trunk because by itself, might it not fit?
That's my belief, Tony, the latter. In other words, this was a situation like most situations of dismemberment where it's done, and it sounds terrible, but it's for practicality.
Yeah.
Either you slice up different body parts and you can strewn them all over, try to, you know, it takes longer to identify. Of course, in this day in DNA, it wouldn't matter as much, but back in the day, and then also for people fitting a body into particular containers, that is often the reason for dismemberment.
So is that typically, honestly, I've never really thought that much about dismemberment, like why you would do that.
Lies. She thinks about it all the time.
No, I don't. Honest. I think of other things. But now I lost my train of thought, Tony.
You're talking about dismemberment.
Yes, thank you. But I mean, is that typically why somebody would dismember a body is for convenience, or like Tony referenced, is it rage that I'm going to cut you up? I mean, I don't want to be completely gruesome here, but
it's a lot of rage, though, to like. It's rage.
I would think so.
I think when I think rage, I think, you know, stabbing. I think, I don't know, maybe shooting more than you need to. Chop, like, that's like you get into butchery at that
point. That's methodical.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is. In most cases, it's a huge percentage that it's for a practical reason.
Wow.
Mm. Not out of rage or anger. People sort of think that for some reason because it is so gruesome and terrible. And you think, how could you do that to somebody you loved or somebody you knew? How could you do that? But it becomes a matter of how am I going to get them in this frunk if I don't do this?
What do you, what's your thoughts on, and maybe, I don't know, we've, you know, stats, but just, you know, from experience here, when you run into a case like this where the body is dismembered, does that tend to increase or decrease the odds of whoever did the dismembering of getting caught? I'm just wondering that because you do kind of, you create more of a mess, for lack of a better term.
It absolutely is detrimental, actually, because now you have tool marks you can work with that you can go back to what actually caused that and then work on making that tool, not making it, but working on seeing if that person purchased that tool or had that tool. So now they've got to hide all the tools. Now they've made a huge bloody mess. So now all their garments, wherever this was done, all of that crime scene is going to be just riddled with blood and DNA. So quite frankly, they should find a place to hide the body that would comport to the configuration of the body.
I mean, they were checking the drains of the house that he was renting for $20,000 a month. And I mean, at least that's what some of the reporting was earlier on of, you know, getting into that system and seeing, you know, what you never know what you're going to find in the drain. As anyone who's ever gone and gotten a drain snake and stuck it down, you're like, oh, I had no idea all this was living in my drain. And then you throw up into a garbage can and then throw the drain snake away. At least that's been my experience. it's such a gross. I hate that. I hate having to do that. Like, they need stronger Drano because that stuff is gross. But they got in there. I mean, they're looking, so they would have. And I'm wondering about that too. People, when they're trying to clean up the crime scene, trying to wash things away, they're going to go to a drain. They're going to go to a shower. They're going to go to a sink. Wherever they can find a drain that makes sense. I'm sorry this is getting so gross today, but yeah. it's just kind of the nature of what we're talking about. Does bodily remains, fluids, things like that, do they tend to stick around in drains after someone does this? Or did a trace material stand no matter what, no matter how much you try to flush that drain clean with chemicals or whatnot?
Absolutely, because of the configuration of that drain that goes down and loops up often. And that's why things get trapped in there, as you so well put. I would love to do a drain experiment, right? We could take any drain apart and we're going to find hair. We're going to find all sorts of gunk and junk there. And you know, Celeste had a huge head of hair.
Yeah.
And that hair may become very important in terms of if that was trapped, if anything else was trapped on it. In other words, blood on the hair that would have been trapped in the drain.
And we'll talk more about the investigation in just a little bit, but I want to keep talking about logistics here for a little bit. You decided to do an experiment of your own and try to see, you know, could you fit this body as a whole into the trunk? I saw your tweet about it the other day. I kind of chuckled a little bit, but it's a good idea. And I know you said, you know, sometimes just going back to reality and seeing things in real time, in real space, really opens up your mind. It makes you see things off of paper in ways that you otherwise may not. Tell me about the experiment. What came to your mind? How did you think about doing this?
Well, there was this whole, you know, argument going on sort of online whether she was dismembered or not. And everybody, I think, forgetting about the original reporting that was at least referenced that it was from law enforcement sources. Right. So, and when you go back and look at that, people were just sort of disregarding that. And then they were making all these leaps and saying, oh, well, she might have been dismembered, but it probably happened naturally through the process of her degrading, her body degrading. But then having a Tesla and knowing the size of these frunks, they are nothing like a trunk. They're small. They have a plastic or a polymer, so they're very hard. They don't give, and they're not deep at all.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm 5'1", 5'1 and a half maybe, almost the exact dimensions of her. Mm-hmm. Could I fit in a frunk? And this is something that I've done throughout my career. As an example, there was a little six-year-old missing. Mm-hmm. And the hypothesis that a lot of people in law enforcement were going with was that he crawled out of the window. Well, the window was raised so high, and of course, there was no stool. This was a horrible situation.
Yeah.
But there was no way I could even hoist myself and crawl through this particular window. It was also sort of boarded. There was no way to fit through there. And then on the other side of it was a fire ant pile, which was undisturbed. So sometimes you just have to go to the crime scene and you have to look at the particular circumstances and see if it's even plausible. And that's what I wanted to do here. I wanted to see if I could even fit in an oversized, gigantic leaf lawn bag.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got one.
Yeah.
And tried to, you know, ask my husband. And again, I'm fully pliable as a live human. A dead human would be in a state of rigor mortis, or at least some stage. At about 2 hours, it sets in where you're stiff. You start stiffening. But nevertheless, he tried to compact me in there. Again, I'm only 5'1", 110-ish, maybe. Yeah. There was no way. He kind of finally, you know, we got my head compacted.
Yeah.
And then he's 5'10" or so, works out every day.
Mm-hmm.
And David is only 5'3", 5'4", maybe on the roster. And
sure.
A big guy. And even with trying to lift, the slipperiness of that bag makes it so difficult to manipulate and put somebody dead weight, if you will, in a trunk. So I thought that lended itself to believe that, sure enough, she was likely dismembered.
Yeah, we got the video of you doing this. This is on Jennifer's Twitter, if you want to check it out as well. But this is... this is you on the ground. There he is, wrapping, getting your legs into the bag. Do you sign a waiver or anything before this with your husband, just to be sure? Like, there's a record of this.
Well, it's kind of funny because, of course, neighbors,
right? But are they surprised by any of this?
Of course,
this point?
Neighbors.
No, they're not. I mean, but I was looking around.
Yeah.
I was waiting for, the call. I didn't get the call.
Well, that's good. That's
disturbing. Actually, they should have called.
So it looks like he's trying to lift the bag. It's very difficult with you as a whole in it to try and get this thing lifted up. And, he struggles and then...
It's dead weight.
Yep. And then you... Yep. Okay.
You can stop now because I can tell there was no way he was going to get me up.
Sure.
Moving and, it was so slippery. I was sort of falling out falling forward.
Yeah.
He was just going to drop me.
Yeah. I mean, not trying to be morbid here, but it is what it is. If you were in pieces, if there was if you were in thirds or whatever, you could kind of hoist that bag up, a little, maybe heavy, but it'd be a different way of lifting than this. Let's look at the other one where you do get into the trunk. Let's see how that. So you're kind of up there, but again, you're in a hole. It's not like you're just in pieces where you could kind of be pushed down and jammed into that trunk. Obviously the body was jammed into the trunk, so it was shut, but this really does kind of show if it was a body as a whole, it really wouldn't have likely fit.
It is really small.
It's really small, and no matter how I did it, whether I went in the fetal position, left to right was the best. And there was more footage of this. I only did this one, but he tried really hard to get me down into there. And I was like, okay, uncle, Can you hear me?
Tap out. Yep.
Did he hear the uncle, or did the frunk ever close on you?
No, he could never get it closed, but I'm telling you, he tried hard and I was pretty squashed in there. Again, no matter what, with the rigor
and
everything, I think it's just pretty impossible.
Is there a release on the inside of the frunks? If someone were to put you in there alive, could someone release it from the inside?
You know, that's interesting. I did not see one. And in fact, I told them have their phones on the ready, because their phones is how it's disabled.
Okay.
So if they would get me in there, I said, make sure, you've got it pulled up on your phone, so I'm not in here too long.
And there's not a nationwide Tesla outage at that moment in time. And all of a sudden the phones don't connect to the car.
Yeah. Or you have to go in and get on the computer and, go through a few steps to get it open. But yeah, it's very small. There is an X model that he actually had. This is the Y. Mm-hmm. So the X model is slightly larger. You can fit golf clubs in there. But believe me, golf clubs, it was a little under, I believe, 2 more cubic feet.
Mm-hmm.
Still very, very small.
Let's talk about the method here of the dismemberment. How often do we see cases where dismemberment is playing a role where it is an intentional murder? Like this is, she was murdered for a reason, or there's an accident and, oh my God, we got to cover up this body. Considering dismembering typically is more of a crime of convenience than it is a rage, I'm wondering if, I don't want to get caught for this. This was a horrible, horrible accident of some sort. I'm going to dismember the body. Do we see that typically more in murders, or in homicides, or do we see that more in someone trying to cover up something that went horribly wrong?
Well, I can think of 2 examples right off the bat. There was a situation in Oklahoma where an individual, these guys came in to rob them. And the guy ended up killing the individuals that were going to do the robbery and cut them all up into pieces and threw them in the river. Mm-hmm. So you might say there, well, that was a situation of convenience, as you think about. And then another case that's hugely in the news right now is Brian Walsh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brian Walsh did something very similar, I believe. I believe because they have the indicia of this, is cut Anna up so that he could put her in a bag, so that he could incinerate her. I believe she's incinerated and gone.
Yeah.
Again, that's both a situation that I think was more planned as opposed to one that was not as planned.
Let's talk about just the mindset that one would have to be in to do this. I don't know. I think it takes a special individual to be able to butcher a body, basically, another human being. I don't know that this is an ability that everyone necessarily has that they could follow through on this, even if they wanted to. That says something interesting about the character that could do this. We're talking about David's never been charged with anything. He's maintaining his innocence, all pure speculation. A 20-year-old music artist, and everything I've researched on David, and I've watched several of his interviews, and yeah, he's a fairly macabre artist, but he seems like a fairly sensitive kind of dude.
On the surface.
Yeah. On the surface. Yeah. But there does seem to be a lot of emotion there that he's somewhat in touch with. I mean, look at his writings, look at his music. It's dark, it's macabre, but it's very emotional. David doesn't strike me that he'd be there chopping up a body, but it doesn't mean that there couldn't be somebody else trying to help this situation along. What are your thoughts on that? Just the nature of what this portion of the crime is.
Well, first of all, talking about David again, he hasn't been charged with anything. But, I go back to the scene where he's got blood handprints all over his white shirt and he's dragging a body.
Yeah.
And putting it in the trunk. So let's just say that not a lot of artists and maybe not a lot of people even really imagine doing something like that.
Sure.
So
Jennifer, I don't ever want to put Lady Gaga in this situation.
But you're going to.
But I'm going to. The woman wore a meat dress at an award ceremony. So, I mean, artists will go to extreme lengths to get attention. So I'm wondering, is this life imitating art or is this his expression? I don't know. I know a lot of artistic people and they will take it to extremes. So I guess I leave that a little bit, you know, I leave a little space for that, that maybe this is his art form. We may not agree with it, but that's just what he does. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you bring up a great point. If Celeste wouldn't have been found dead in his trunk.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. There's that.
There's that. So for me, that's where we sort of step over the line, I guess, where it's just sort of coincidental. But again, he hasn't been charged with anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When a body is found in a car like this, I want to talk about the investigative end of this. And we're talking about David D4VD, in case you're like, who's David? I've been reading this and I just see D4VD. That's him. That's the guy we're talking about. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent with us discussing all of this. From an investigative angle here, when you got a body found in a car that's been sitting for days, maybe weeks in the hot California sun, I mean, it becomes an oven as well. So let's add that aspect to it. I think a lot of people are thinking about that part. It's cooking. You're literally, you can cook things probably in there if you really tried. What sort of evidence is going to be most time sensitive here when they're looking at the body itself, the remains of the body? What sort of things, you know, can be found? What sort of things might have been degraded or lost in the time, at least several days, that it was sitting in that vehicle?
Well, the number one thing I would do as an investigator in this case is get a anthropologist, a forensic anthropologist on this case, as well as a forensic bug expert. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that immediately upon death, or close to immediately, when you're talking about the space of time being, you know, weeks, bugs begin to form in the body and they start eating the body. That's why a body decomposes. And so that information is going to be critical for a timeline. It's going to be critical for trying to understand the cause of death, I believe, as well. In other words, how long was she in that trunk? Mm-hmm. They can start to narrow this down. And then what was the causation? And oftentimes a forensic anthropologist can make headway with a body that's dismembered and severely decomposed like she was.
What do you make of the just the fact that the whoever did this put a body in a trunk on a busy road that this car is going to get attention at some point in time, obviously, and it did. Just the line of thinking of putting this body in this trunk to conceal it. Was this midway through a plan of somebody who didn't have a very good plan of, well, I'm going to park the car here until I figure out the next thing to do, and are too inexperienced in life to realize that cars get towed eventually if they aren't moved? That part also kind of gets me of like, this is very poor planning, whoever did this, unless it was intentional. And I'm not figuring that part out quite yet.
No, I think these are absolute rookie mistakes. This isn't somebody that's a career, you know, mass murderer or anything like that. I believe this is somebody who it's a crime of passion, or it's a cover up, mm-hmm, or something less sinister, like a drug overdose. And it's absolute panic that set in. What are we going to do with the body? Mm-hmm. And this was a situation of convenience. And they thought, we'll just put this right over here. No one will notice for a while. I also believe they probably planned to move that body, mm-hmm, move her, move Celeste, or move that vehicle. And for whatever reason, they never got to it before it was towed.
And that's another weird, yeah, part. That's like, what are you waiting for? I guess like, you got the body in the trunk. You need to stop at the house for what? For how many days? Why? What? Yeah. Again, rookie mistake, ignorance, young, dumb. I don't know. It just seems stupid. Celeste, and the timeline as we were talking about, Celeste was reported missing in April of 2024. And the timeline, as far as we knew up until like yesterday, as of this recording, was she was missing, completely missing for all of that time up until the time that they found her. But now there is security camera footage that is from, I believe, the neighbors or it on their own house. I don't know which camera it is, but it is showing Celeste at her residence, her parents' residence, where she allegedly, where, you know, she was, you know, reported missing from, about 5 months later at home, yelling at the neighbors who were outside doing karaoke or something. How does that deal with this timeline here? Is it simple enough of, well, she returned home and nobody reported that she returned home? Is that the answer to that question?
Well, I think that's the answer, but it begs the question, how many other times did she return home?
Yeah.
Didn't catch on video. I mean, this whole missing thing now really seems bastardized to me.
Yeah, was she missing, I guess, is the question.
Right. We know she went missing in January and then came back and then was reported missing in April. And that was after being seen on footage by that pawn shop in March.
Yeah.
Reported in April. And again, the police, there's 11 police reports regarding responses to her house. Mm-hmm. One of them is on the day she was reported missing, but unrelated to the missing report. So it seems a hot mess for law enforcement. I think all of us can see the timeline is a mess because she didn't want to be found. She didn't want people to know where she was at. And if people knew where she was at, they didn't say anything.
And that's a real disturbing part of this whole thing. I mean, she went missing, and I say that in air quotes, but she was in plain sight. She's showing up on live streams with David. It's not exactly like, you know, it's just them and their high school friends. He's a celebrity, and so she's showing up publicly there. There's a lot of places where she's showing up and missing or just not wanting to be at home in her home environment. And there's, I'm going to guess, probably reason for that to some extent. But out there in the public and not a lot of people asking questions about that term of this person is missing. Why do you think that is? That there wasn't more question? Is this just a lack of people that cared about her in her personal life, I'm wondering?
Well, I think that's the really sad part about this whole story is, you know, did anybody really care? When you look at the timeline of David and his tour schedule, which was jam-packed in August, at what point did he wonder, geez, where's my girlfriend? Where's my girl?
Yeah.
And where's my Tesla?
Yeah.
The whole thing is really sad. It seems that the parents, they made that missing report, but why didn't they go back and tell law enforcement, hey, listen, we found her because she's at home this September. So it seems to be a real disconnect with who, if anybody, really cared about Celeste.
I mean,
it's
how
really
common-
a sad, yeah, it's a sad statement that there is a young woman who has so few people in her life that are coming forward to vouch for her. I mean, it's tragedy, really.
How common is it when someone gave a crap enough to report her missing? So at least
True.
There's that. But how often is it when someone is reported missing that the authorities aren't notified when they show back up? And again, at that moment in time, not a high profile thing. She wasn't dead at that moment in time. So it was just kind of a domestic matter to a certain extent. No celebrity, no microscope on this. She has a history of running away and coming back. How often is it that the return is just kind of brushed off and or never reported or never on record in cases like that?
Well, when you look at cities like Los Angeles and New York, Detroit, Chicago, these huge cities where they have so many runaways, they have so many people just go missing, they typically don't do the best job once the first 24, 48 hours goes by after the report and they start looking into it, especially if it's what they designate a runaway. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes that case just kind of gets put to the side because they have thousands of them.
Yeah. That's the sad reality of it. There was the interview that we saw with her boyfriend. And again, I say in air quotes. I mean, there yeah. it's a best as a boyfriend is at 12, 13 years old. And he's kind of like your typical, unfortunately, as I say that, boy of that age, you know, I don't have the tape in front of us, but at the end, he makes a comment of some of the effect of, I just don't think anybody really cared that much. That's like one of her peers saying that. And he seemed rather unfazed by the fact that she went missing. I mean, this is the boyfriend, quote unquote, of that age. That there seems to be a missing element. I'm not trying to insult him. I'm just kind of saying of that. That group of that age group of lacking empathy or care. I don't know. I mean, I remember people dying at that age. I remember having a classmate that died by suicide. I remember having, I remember there was a kid that went missing too. And we gave a shit. It was like a big deal. It was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are like, they're excited about as excited about it as if like the McRib was back at McDonald's. You hear the McRib's back? Yeah, it's gone now. Okay. I mean, it's about that level of care. I guess that kind of just speaks to the world that maybe she was living in and why she maybe felt that the only place to get attention or the place that she did get attention was with a rapper or an R&B artist that she didn't really know initially.
I think part of that with this young man was the former boyfriend, meaning was just think how young that would have been.
Yeah.
11, 12 year old. They were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Sure.
So it's a very young age and probably a very immature.
Of course.
Relationship. But nevertheless, to your point, absolutely. I remember there was a kid that was a catcher where I went to school. And he literally was 14. His name was Jay Elliott. He fell over backwards and died right there on the baseball field.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was, we couldn't believe it. It was something we mourned, we talked about, we cried over for years. Mm-hmm. You know, baseball fields named after him. Like, this was huge. And this wasn't a murder and dismemberment, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with your point that the sort of lack of just caring and really, I think, understanding loss just is shocking.
It is.
And that was sad to see. And his last statement was certainly sad.
It was. And I'm not trying to judge him. He's a product of his environment. But I don't know. I was just kind of disturbed by it. Just the lack of emotion.
Immaturity, too. I mean, look at his age.
Well, there's immaturity, but there's just lack of emotion. I mean, you know?
It might be a product of today's world, too. Yeah. You know, just this disconnect that... And I'm not blanketing a statement that all millennials are like this. They're not.
He's not a millennial.
You're right. What is he? He's Gen...
Why?
What? Z? Why?
What are you when you're 12 or 13?
I don't know anymore.
I don't know. It sure is not a millennial. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. But, you know, I think there is a lot of disconnect in some of the generations, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, that's another conversation. In terms of the investigation right now that's going on, obviously you have local authorities. And is the FBI involved in this case yet?
I don't believe the FBI is involved. It's funny. I saw a report where people were saying the FBI.
Yeah.
I think they were just confused. Because this is squarely in the venue of LAPD, and they have one of the most well-versed and well-trained homicide departments in the country. Mm-hmm. They do not need really the FBI's help other than in areas of resources. In other words, I wouldn't doubt that if they came to the Bureau and asked for a particular, whatever it might be, manpower, ERT, something like that. That's the evidence response team that they would lend a hand. But they quite frankly don't need it. They have their own evidence response team. They respond to many more murders than the FBI does or will. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe the FBI is involved, other than maybe a communication to say, hey, this is going on in case something happens, like we determine this was done across state lines or something like that.
Well, we don't have any arrests yet. We don't have any suspects public yet that we're aware of. Not to say that, you know, behind the curtains, you know, they're getting their ducks in a row. But I guess that would be the question. We still don't have an arrest yet. Why not call in the FBI? Why not have a few more resources if we are not at a place of having someone charged in this as of yet?
You know, the biggest problem is there's no venue for the FBI. The FBI has no jurisdictional authority, period, full stop. Mm-hmm. The only way they can get involved in local cases is that invitation, like what happened in the Idaho 4 case. They invited the FBI to come assist because they desperately needed it. And they got 60 agents assigned to that case. But in this case, I don't think you'll see that. And I truly believe because they probably had to involve a forensic anthropologist. I think that's going to take time. There were two statements that came out on Monday that really concerned me, Tony. Mm-hmm. One was from the Emmy that said, we may never know the cause.
Eesh.
Like, maybe.
It's a statement.
Cause? Yeah. If you look, I believe it was People that reported it or ABC. ABC Local has been on this case from the minute there was a body found. Before everybody got, when it became the Celeste case, it seemed like all of a sudden everybody was paying attention. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, certainly that ABC and many of us, I was looking at this well before we knew who it was. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, my point is that's really concerning to me that they don't have a cause yet. And then the other statement was just about, we know we have a homicide, but whether this was murder or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought with the dismemberment, in fact, the quote is, and this is law enforcement, saying all we know we really have is basically the hiding of a corpse. That's what they said. And then I would add to it, they also have mistreatment of a corpse. But nevertheless, they said the hiding of a corpse. And I thought, wow, is that all they're going to be able to get down to? I was surprised.
Yeah.
That I mean, said that.
Is that all we know as of right now? Because I know there was talk earlier on that this I mean, is this, because it's being labeled as deferred right now, the cause of death. But does that mean that it's not a homicide, or do we know if this is a homicide? Where are we at with that, I guess?
Well, the manner they said was homicide.
Okay.
As opposed to accident, suicide. So they had come out and said, I think it was last Thursday, there's a report and they've said homicide, but mm-hmm. a homicide isn't necessarily a murder. You can accidentally kill somebody. You can provide, drugs that mm-hmm. end up killing that person. But intent is a big part that separates a murder from a homicide.
I think a lot of people forget that, or maybe don't know that. They interchange the two and lose sight of the definition. So thank you for adding that.
But what about, let me just throw this in there. Okay, homicide. How do we know it's not a suicide? How do we not, I mean, because we don't have the toxicology public by any means yet. So if we do get that, and let's just theoretically say it shows an overdose of drugs, there's an amount of drugs in this person's system that was, it would have killed you. That doesn't necessarily mean that was administered nefariously by someone else. She could have taken that amount of drugs. They could have found her dead, knew that, oh my God, this is a 15-year-old that's in this person's home, this minor, and she's dead. What do we do? I mean, you could end up going down that road of a suicide, and then we're trying to cover it up because we're frantic and we don't know what the hell we're doing. Or that could be an alibi that I just gave somebody to run with.
Right.
Yeah.
The dismemberment, I think, is
that's a crime. Yeah, but was that a panic? Was that part of the that I think could be looked at differently if some sort of a panic. But again, why would you do that? But again, people do stupid things when they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think as a suicide, I can't particularly think of a case of a suicide where then somebody decided to dismember the person.
Sure.
Suicide. I think that would be extremely rare.
Well, my thought on that, though, is not because you would almost have two possible things going on here. And we should establish one thing before we even get to that. What is the relationship that we know of between these two? We know that, I mean, we have video of them together. I know the speculation is that they were a couple. There's, you know, people that are saying, well, we thought she was 19 and that he was, that was his girlfriend. What do we definitively know about that as of right now?
Well, we know that friends saw them at, and associates saw them as a couple. Mm-hmm. They were seen partying together. That was believed that they were together in that way. This is the rub for law enforcement. Unless I have a video, unless I have a photo, unless I have their bodily fluids mixed up together in a bedsheet, or I have communications between them where they're discussing their sexual relationship in that mm-hmm. way, I don't have anything. I have a friendship. I can't prove it. And that's going to be a problem for law enforcement.
And that seems to be where it's at right now. I mean, a lot of people want to jump to the conclusion here that this is, you know, R. Kelly-ish. And yeah. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's not. But that seems to be the conclusion that a lot of people are jumping to. I haven't seen any video of them in anything that makes me necessarily think they're a couple other than people insinuating they're a couple. I mean, when you saw them on camera during their little thing, they seemed like, you know, two young, dumb folks chatting online and saying stupid things. And we can talk about that too, but because it looked like, you know, that one chat that has been streaming around. I know you've seen it. I don't know if you've reposted it or not. I've seen it so many different places where someone brings up her age. They make some taunts about Epstein, about, you know, someone who's older with someone who is illegally younger. And then he wants to shut down the chat. He wants to delete all of the logs of the chat. I don't know why he thinks that this is a doable thing when you're doing this live, considering he's young and more versed in technology than I think older folks, but whatever. Somebody thought to put a body in a trunk too. I don't know if it was him, but that is the one area that points to concern about the judgment of the outside world and the law of being on to the fact that she is not of age and he is older. I guess that would make someone, you know, panic the way he did. But it could also be, I don't want people to think that if we're friends and we don't want, you wouldn't want anybody to think that, you know, in any way, shape or form, especially if there's nothing going on. It doesn't completely definitively say to anyone these two were a couple.
Right.
Yeah. You, again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that still doesn't say anything.
Right. But also, Rihanna has that same tattoo. Yeah. There's a lot of people that do have that.
And so does Lindsay Lohan. And yeah. I agree with that. But they don't have it exactly with the dot, 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 the three dots after on their index fingers. And I just think that when you start adding a lot of it up, to me, the Hello Kitty stuff is
weird.
I think that was a grooming tool. You know, they met purportedly online through Minecraft, I believe, when she was about 12-ish per reports. And he's still carrying on with all this Hello Kitty. We know she loved Hello Kitty.
Yeah.
I've seen a picture of her when she was very young with Hello Kitty. And her parents have said she loved Hello Kitty. And he's 20 years old and he's all over Hello Kitty on the floor. So,
or he's her gay friend.
Honestly, guys, that's been on my mind on this whole thing. Honestly, it really has.
Yeah.
And the family, her family, I'm freaked out by that family a little bit. And Jennifer, excuse me for cutting in here, but, and I'm a big Columbo watcher. So this is where the question comes from.
Todd's geeking out.
What if somebody wanted to make it look like he did it? What if something happened at home? There was an accident, an overdose, something. And they're like, who can we pin this on? Well, here's a guy that did a video of a body being thrown in a trunk. Again, Columbo-ish, over the top. But I'm starting to wonder about how this is all adding up, because so far nobody's been charged and it seems like we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, my only response to that would be, is David's response. Mm-hmm. Again, I keep asking, how do you not report the girl that you are supposedly at least have somewhat of a relationship with? You've got tattoos together with that. Hey, she's not been around for a month or so. And then, by the way, where's my $100,000+ Tesla? Where's that at? There's just a lot of things that don't add up, in my view, with his reaction to all of this.
I think you got to look at it from the perspective, though, too. This is a 20-some-year, this is a 20-year-old. This is someone who was just a teenager who fell into a bunch of money very early on in life in very formative years. You know, he's basically not having anyone tell him no this is my speculation, you know, for the last several years of his life. He's just kind of living out there, expressing his art with no real guardrails. And I think in that world of the music world at that age, you got a ton of groupies that are going on. And let's just, I don't know, for lack of a better term, I don't know that she's anything more than a groupie. You know, obviously underage. But there's, you know, is she anything more than one of many that are coming and going out of his house, whether it be anything sexual or not, just companionship, friends, you know, groupies don't always mean that they're having, you know, sex with the artist. Is it more of that where he really wouldn't notice? And where is your $100,000? Sure, for us, we'd be like, where's my $100,000 Tesla? But I don't know, in that world, in that insulated land that he's been conditioned to believe is reality, I don't know that those sort of same things would stand out to him as they would to us. And look, young people, as we've seen in other cases, they don't do a lot of the common sense things that we would think to do. Look at the Koberger case, the 911 call that took how long to make, that they decided to choose this other path of how they're going to handle it rather than reach out to authorities. It's not because they had anything to do with the crime. It's how they're thinking, how their process worked. It's different. Look at the boyfriend. Look at that interview. I mean, there's a different way of thinking here, and we're applying our filter on how we would do it. I don't know that's how they do it.
I want to say this, though. I don't think she was just a groupie, and it's not because of the like tattoos, but if you see the video of them, it looks like they're almost at a kitchen table talking. There is a certain, I think, familiarity and closeness that they have just for him to be streaming with her. Mm-hmm. And beyond the shush tattoo, let's talk about the song he wrote called Celeste.
Yeah, what do we know about that?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't end up making it, if you will, but he certainly wrote it. It's unpublished, if you will. But there's a very close and tender lyric throughout that song. And no, I don't think she was a groupie. I think they had a relationship. Mm-hmm. I think it was a sexual relationship, but I don't think that that can be proven at this point, at least that certainly we can see.
Yeah. There's so many questions into this case as to what exactly, where exactly it was standing and what happened and when. Why do we not have an arrest of David as of yet? Does it mean that they just don't have the evidence to do it? That they are sitting there just as befuddled as all of us on the outside? And I'm not saying he did anything, but that's the question everybody's asking. Why hasn't he been arrested yet? What would the answer to that be?
The answer to that is in regard to having a relationship with a minor, as I mentioned, they fall well short without video or writing proof. So that's where that stands. And until they go through everything, and remember, I don't know if you saw this interview, but David says, my world was the internet. My world, my people, my life was the internet and social media. That's what he considers his life. Remember, he was homeschooled. He talks about that. That's where I did my homework. That's my that's my people. I even think he says, my world, my people. So this is not somebody who was out and about, going to beach parties, hanging out, you know, surfing. This was a guy that his whole world was what we have in front of us, and that was a computer. So I think that that's very important. In other words, they've got a lot to pour through to get some of these questions answered, a lot. In digital forensics takes time, and it takes a lot of accomplishment. And that's where I think where the Bureau could really come in if they have help in that area. As far as the murder, we know now as of Monday that they have an issue with causation. They're not able to determine cause. In other words, cause means bludgeoned, strangled, shot, poisoned. They don't have that right now. Uh-huh. And they seem to be concerned whether they're going to get that. Until they have causation, there's no way really for them to make the case. So that's the murder case. Now let's move on to, wait a minute, we've got hiding of a corpse. All right. Why can't they prove that? There's cameras all over this Tesla. Mm-hmm. Who put her in there? Well, that's what I was talking about, was that sentry mode disabled. And mm-hmm. they have anything other than when the lid went up and when it went down.
And obviously, you don't want to charge somebody early on weak charges, and then they're able to get out and flee. There's that. I don't know if that's a concern or not. But obviously, since no one has been arrested here, I'm going to guess are they still? It sounds like they're trying to build a federal case here against like someone like a Diddy, which obviously that didn't work out well either. But it needs to be to a certain level before you want to bring the charges, so they're not going to get out. Do you think that's what's going on here? They're just stacking it up, going, okay, when we do go in, if we do go in, this guy's not coming out because we have so much and we already got our eyes on him. We're not worried that he's going to go somewhere. I mean, pure speculation of what could be going on behind the scenes.
Sure. When you have a high priority or a high, not priority, a high visibility case like this, mm-hmm. you know, everyone is going to be armchair quarterbacking. Eyes are going to be on it. And because of that, you got to get it right the first time. There's no second chances once you charge, and the statute of limitations starts ticking. Remember, that kind of happened with Diddy, right?
Yeah.
They were held to the fire early, and they had to get everything together. So they don't want that clock to start ticking until they have it all added up. The other thing is, I'm not convinced that there wasn't more than one person involved in this.
Yeah.
You have a dismemberment and a guy whose life was his computer and the internet. I just don't see him going down to Ace Hardware and ordering up a saw and a hatchet. Mm-hmm. I just, and the brutality that you talked about earlier, what kind of mentality do you have to have? Was he smart enough to realize, listen, two people can't keep a secret?
Yeah.
Or did he pick somebody that was willing to keep a secret and they did it together? I'm shocked that somebody wouldn't be talking by now, but man, this is gruesome what they did. And where did they do it? I don't think they did it in that mansion. Can you imagine the amount of blood? I'm a farm girl. Mm-hmm. We slaughtered pigs. We slaughtered cows. We slaughtered our rabbits. We slaughtered our chicken. I can tell you, it's a very bloody mess. And it's god awful.
Yeah.
I won't be trying to reenact that kind of scenario. But I can tell you, it's horribly bloody and gross. And I don't think they did that in that house. They would never be able to cover all that up. And doubtfully in the car, just because of the configuration. Where did this all happen at? And who all was involved? They've got a lot to unpack.
They do. They do. I was really hoping next week that we would come on and you would have you'd be like slaughtering a pig or something and try to put it into your trunk on your nice white Tesla
with the neighbors hanging out, watching the whole thing.
Well, that's where I'm a little concerned. How are you able to do this in your driveway? And the neighbors are like, what are the coffin daffers up to today?
Huh. You know what?
Same old.
Short, quick story to end this segment. When I was playing farmer for that couple years on that farm, We had pigs.
I remember this story.
And they died.
Do I need to like go do something different now?
No, this is good.
And they died. And they were, I mean, they were heavy. It made me go, why the hell why are serial killers enjoying this shit? Because I mean, the smell's horrible, but number two, a dead body, dead weight is so difficult to move around. And I don't have any experience with bodies other than these pigs. And I had to take the four-wheeler, put straps around the pig to move it, because I couldn't lift the damn thing into anything or even like physically get it going off the ground. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I have a new respect for serial killers and people who've moved bodies, because this shit is not easy. And I can't imagine anybody going, let's keep doing that. You know,
you gotta work out and be in shape to do that, you know?
I was more at that point in time too, and it was still... It was a lot. It was difficult, but there's still a week, Jen. So if you change your mind, let me know.
I can't do it. My God, she is so tough.
Reach out to a farmer, and you know, we'll have a barbecue after it. After you get it in the Tesla, we'll have a little cookout.
We are farmers. My whole family is farmers. We still have all of our farms.
Yeah.
I could easily make it happen, and no, I am not going to.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
And somewhere, somebody actually wrote that they're going to have nightmares over my reenactment of going into the bag. I'm like, really? This is a crime. Okay.
You should do like a Jack in the Box. You just pop out of the trunk.
Surprise!
Coffin Daffer in a car. Yeah. Jennifer Coffin Daffer, retired FBI special agent, as always, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your insight into this case. It's crazy.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.